Welcome to The Local Take with Kiplin Primus on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. This weekly public affairs program features dialogue and community engagement with leaders and organizations making a difference in the areas we serve.
This morning, we're joined in the studio by Mr. Brandon Fleming of the Harvard Diversity Project. Mr. Fleming is the founder of the Harvard Debate Council Diversity Project, which is changing the narrative of the Ivy Leagues. Welcome to The Local Take, Brandon Fleming.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Now, you seem to be a motto of just do it. But I'm going to start back at your beginning when a basketball scholarship didn't work out for you and you dropped out of college. Can you share why you thought it was going to either be a basketball career or a factory career? Because at that time, it seems like that's where you put your choices.
Absolutely. One of the things that I often share with people is that for many young people, they can't be what they can't see. And for me, what I saw all throughout my life, you know, what was more fitting of either an athlete or a factory worker, because I did not have the exposure to dream bigger. And that's why I'm very adamant about exposing young people to as much as we can, because the more you expose them to, the more they dream. The more they dream, the more they feel like they can do. And so for me, it's very ironic the way I even landed in education, because I was an at-risk youth. And I went from being an at-risk youth to then becoming a college dropout who spent 2 years working in a factory on the assembly line. And it was there, quite honestly, where I had a transformative experience when I realized the decision that I made in relinquishing my education. And in my desperation to be able to make it back to college, when I finally made it there, I felt compelled not to just do something for myself, but to also do something for others.
That kind of second chance. The first time it might not feel so good, but when you get that next chance, it's
absolutely
a different appreciation.
Absolutely.
Now, you have made education your career. You've worked at Ron Clark Academy, some of the best educational groups that we have. And you've been very successful. How is it that you have been able to do what it seems our traditional school system, it almost seems like they've given up on doing?
I think it all starts with the teacher. You know, we can have so many conversations about, you know, educational policy, educational pedagogy. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. What matters is the teacher that is in front of that classroom with those students. And for me, my teaching comes from a very personal place, you know. And so when I train teachers, one of the things that I share with a lot of them is that, come on, if we're honest, many teachers didn't sign up because they love kids. They signed up because they love their subject. And so you can't be in the classroom thinking that you're going to impact the lives of youth, you know, when you care about science more than you care about your students. And so for these kids who are in these classrooms, they want to know that you care first before you start giving them information. And so because of my own personal journey and understand what I needed when I was their age, that's how I'm able to be that influencer for those young people today.
And that's great, because I think that's one of the things that we as adults miss. I have mentored young people, and, you know, sometimes when they say something to me that, you know, they think it's great, and in a way it is good, I have to kind of put myself back to 15 or 16,
absolutely,
you know, because as an adult, I'm like, man, that's crazy. But 15 or 16, it's different.
Absolutely.
It is really different. So what was it about debate that spoke to you? Because this isn't just education. You use debate as a way to hook kids on education.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love it. You know, it's really interesting. If you were to do a survey in schools, I guarantee you most of the kids, and you ask them what's their favorite subject, most of them will probably say science. And why is that? It's because when they are engaging in science, there's something very heuristic about science in that it's experimental. And we don't get that same type of engagement with other subjects such as history, such as English, you know, such as math. And what I love about debate is it teaches you how to find and cultivate and use your voice. And as I mentioned before, learning has to be personal. that there's nothing that you're passionate about that is not personal to you. And so when you become engaged in the art and the practice of debate, you literally become one with whatever it is that you're studying and with whatever it is that you're speaking about. And when you start to feel yourself engrossed and enraptured in whatever it is that you are studying, and you start to have a voice on that, it's inevitable that you're going to become passionate.
Now, you're talking about debate from an academic point of view, the critical thinking, the actually being able to stand up and present and argue, you know, for your concept. But how did you take debate and turn it into this leadership program?
Well, because, you know, when people talk about wanting to be a leader, we have to stop and ask ourselves, what does that really mean? What does it mean to be a leader? It has to take more than a desire, but a leader must be equipped with a certain set of skills. It's impossible to lead without the ability to persuade. It's impossible to persuade without the ability to reason. And it's impossible to reason without the ability to debate.
So that's where debate leads.
Absolutely.
That persuasive argument to get people to follow. Because you can't lead if you can't convince people that you're onto something.
Absolutely.
So now, when you did this program, you promised scholarships to Harvard.
Yes.
And you fulfilled that promise.
We delivered.
Why do you think being exposed to the Ivy League is important, and not just exposure to the Ivy League? Why do you think our children need to join the ranks of the Ivy League?
When I was recruited by Harvard several years ago, I was first recruited as a summer instructor, where I started teaching at this summer residency that we have for gifted scholars. And while there, I observed a young lady. It was only about maybe one black girl who was studying there. And at the end of the residency, we had two tournaments. One was an oratorical competition and one was a debate competition. And so when it came time for those tournaments, when the residency culminated, that young lady won that first tournament. And I was so beset by the way the other young people made her feel. They looked at her and said to her face things such as, the only reason you won is because you're black. The only reason you won is because the judges felt sorry for you. And if given another opportunity, you would not be able to do it again. And I was so inspired by that young lady, because when she could have walked away with her head held down, she came back the next day. Not only did she win the first tournament, but she swept the second tournament as well. And that's when it dawned on me. In that moment, I thought to myself, wow, this could be more of us. This could be more of our young black kids. The only reason why it's not, the only reason why anything that African Americans have not accomplished is not due to ability, it's due to access. And so in that moment, I had a decision, and I said, you know what? Understanding that truth, I'm going to be the one to build a bridge for our young people to have access to the training that is going to distinguish them and make them more competitive for college admissions and beyond.
In our country and in our culture, almost anything that the culture allows African Americans to have access to, we excel. A lot of people don't realize that basketball used to be all white.
Come on.
I mean, even Jewish guys couldn't play on the leagues.
That's
then
right.
They opened it up to the Jewish guys. And then a couple of years later, they opened it up to African Americans. And
that's
now
right.
The league is all black.
That's right.
So it's almost as if anything that we actually can have access to, we will succeed.
Absolutely.
And you are the epitome of that with this debate club. So
yes, ma'am.
What has the record been like since then?
So the first year, you know, it was so incredible, because I don't even think people really understand how challenging it is to do what we've done here, because what we've done is we've targeted students who have never been exposed to debate before. And we take those students through a 10-month training regimen and send them to Harvard to compete against young people who have been doing it all their lives. And so when we pulled up to that campus last year, and we took our culture right up there with us, you know, and we're singing and dancing, and our jovial spirit and our charisma is permeating the halls of that Ivy League campus, you know, and my kids experienced that same feeling that the young girl experienced as well, is that other people made them feel like they did not belong until they got in the classroom with them. And we did not just win that tournament. We dominated that tournament. Just to give you an idea, of the 400 students that are there, only 16 students advanced to the final rounds of the competition. Of the 16 students in the entire residency that advanced to the final rounds, 10 of them were mine. 10 of them came from this program. And the only reason why two of our students didn't end up in the championship is because they eliminated each other in the semifinals. But it shocked the world. And it went viral immediately, because now all of a sudden we've been given this platform where we can show people what young, gifted Black scholars are capable of doing if they are only given opportunity.
Mr. Fleming, how did you know this would work?
I didn't. I didn't. Quite honestly, I didn't even think about it. I never sat and contemplated whether or not it was going to work. I had the audacity to dream, and I had the audacity to act. And so for me, honestly, it wasn't a matter of will it work or not. I felt compelled by a responsibility that I had.
Please tell our listeners, parents and students, because a lot of times students do advocate for themselves, how they can join this program. The applications are open until April 30th.
Applications are open until April 30th for all rising 8th through 11th graders. You are more than welcome to apply from all schools throughout Metro Atlanta. We are seeking gifted and talented students who have the desire to become world changers, who have the desire to get ahead, and they're willing to do whatever it takes to do exactly that. You can visit our website at www.harvarddcdp.org and submit your application until April 30th. In May, we will begin a very rigorous admissions and interview process, and we will select the next cohort of students who we will train and matriculate into the Harvard Debate Council's summer residency.
Brandon Fleming, thank you so much.
It's my privilege.
Thank you so much for what you're doing and believing in our young people. It is greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
We're talking about the Harvard Diversity Project that was founded by Brandon Fleming. And we're actually speaking to two of the participants in the program, Mr. Keith Harris, a 16-year-old student at Westlake High, and Ms. Trinity Franklin, a 17-year-old student at Mays High. So Trinity and Keith, welcome to the Local Take.
Thank you for having us.
Well, I'm glad that you're here, and I'm always happy to meet young people who are doing wonderful, marvelous, beautiful things. So Trinity, can you tell our listeners how you found out about this opportunity with the Harvard Debate Council Diversity Project and why it made a difference in your life?
So I found out about this amazing opportunity by the APS website, but also on Instagram. I follow one of the alumni, Mylon West, and I saw that he was going to Harvard. I'm like, Harvard, wow. So that was a great opportunity, and I'm thankful for this. And I feel like this is a great opportunity, not only because, well, when you realize it's so much bigger than debate, and we're learning to become world leaders and world changers. So I feel like by being in this program, I just gained a new perspective and a new way of looking at life.
And now, Keith, how do you feel? How did you find out about the program? And once you became a part of it, you know, what was kind of the difference you felt?
Thank you, Ms. Kipler. So I found out about the program when I applied and just finished a law program that I did earlier that summer. And they recommended me to apply for this program coming up. And at first, I didn't know what it was fully. I just knew that it was Harvard, and that name was just something that I needed to apply to. But once I realized and went to some of their orientations, since I didn't even expect to get as far as I did, but once I went to some of their orientations, I was just so surprised and so wowed by the amount of education that they were giving these young students. And that was something that I just knew I had to be a part of. So what it did for me personally is that I could see the changes in myself in school, in just my interactions with my family. I'm a much better public speaker, and I think about things in a different way, that it's more critical, and I could look for more solutions to problems that are just plaguing everywhere.
This is so wonderful, because so often in the general media, all we hear about are students who are not interested in school, who, you know, are not concerned about their future. There are millions of students in Metro Atlanta who are not working, who are not in school. So what is it about the two of you? What made you think that education was important? And why was it something that you embraced? Because we hear all the time, you know, education is important. Education is important. Stay in school. What was it about you that made you embrace that concept and use these educational opportunities to expand your horizons and your future?
So one thing that taught me that education was important was, first of all, my upbringing. Education has always been the core focus of my home life. And then when you look at all people that are successful today, I know there's been a rising trend of the people, the college dropouts, who are trying to be successful without going to college. But college is not inherently connected to education. Education can be found outside of the college room. So I just know that everybody who's successful is educated in some way. And it just reinforces the importance of education in my everyday life.
And Ms. Franklin?
Same here. I just fall up under not letting my environment control my actions and things like that, but also let my discipline and my mind shape my knowledge and things like that. Also because my mother is an educator, so education was kind of big, but I also knew my goals in life and how I want to achieve them through education.
Now, you all have both mentioned that this program is preparing you to be global leaders, not just local leaders.
Yes, ma'am.
How does that feel to you, and why is that an important part of this educational experience that you're having?
Well, I think it feels, first of all, it feels kind of draining, just the burden that's placed upon us. But I think every single person in the program understands the burden that has been placed on each and every one of us and is ready to go up to the challenge.
Exactly. Every day in class, Mr. Freeland be like, a world changer. So it's so much going on. And to actually learn how to effectively use your voice in this community, I feel like it's an amazing opportunity to learn that through the Harvard Debate Council Diversity Project.
Now, you all have both mentioned that education, formal education and formal education is important. And often I have found in my educational career that it's not so much what you learn in the classroom, but it's the people that are in the classroom with you. You get to share and learn experiences through the eyes of other people that you might not have ever been in contact with. So what has that been like in the program? Are you all meeting, you know, you're at Westlake, you're at Mays. Are you all meeting like-minded students from all over Metro Atlanta? And what has that been like?
Well, first of all, just to address that question, before I even went into the Harvard Diversity Project, I've always been surrounded with people who wanted to pursue a higher education. Like, even the way that I found out about it, it was through a law program that I was in. And it was just teaching me about law. And all of my peers wanted to learn and had a desire to learn about law. So when I stepped into the Harvard Diversity Project's like space, I was just surrounded with even more people who wanted to learn and wanted to be these world changers that everybody desires to be.
Yes, in class, you're surrounded by some of the brightest minds in class. So, I mean, it's different from attending like Benjamin Elijah Mays because I answer some of the most questions. But, I mean, it's competitive, but we're all a family. So it's just like we're working together. So it's fun, but it's at the same time, it's competitive and very different.
So when you're not the smartest person in the room, it makes a difference.
Yes.
And do you like that feeling of being able to learn from the people in the room, or do you want to stay the smartest person in the room?
No, I want to learn. I mean, because you don't know everything, and also like sharing your different experiences and things like that.
Yeah. So there was this one saying that I heard, I don't know, a few years ago. It was talking about how If you're the smartest person in a room, that isn't a room that you should be in. So in every room that you want to be in or that you're placed in, you should always strive to be I won't say the dumbest person in the room, but you should strive to have something to learn more about. Right. There should be somebody in the room that is smarter than you that is going to teach you, because then you will be better off for it.
Yeah. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room.
Amen.
Okay, so now what do you all want to say to people that are listening to this right now and thinking, you know, is this a good program for the young person in my life, or young person listening going, hey, maybe I should do that? What do you want to tell those people?
Well, just to all the listeners out there, I just want to say that either parents or young students with who don't have children, it's never too late to be a world changer, and it's never too late to learn these things and learn these concepts. You don't have to go through the Harvard Diversity Project. You could go along your own route. But the Harvard Diversity Project is a very good way to get these education. So to all the parents out there, your children will be better off for it. If you want your children to be world changers, then this is the place to be. The Harvard Diversity Project is one of the best places to enrich your children, to have them be better off in their entire lifetime.
And Ms. Franklin?
First, I want to say applications are open. So I feel like this is a great program, a great opportunity. I'm grateful that I was accepted into this program. And also, like Keith said, if you want to be a world changer, this is the best route for you, only because it's not about debate. You're just cultivating your mind, learning how to use your voice effectively for your community.
I want to thank you, young people, for coming and sharing this information today. Keith Harris and Trinity Franklin, members of the Harvard Debate Council Diversity Project, you are proving that our young people have a very bright future, and that means that our country has a bright future. So thank you both for what you're doing, and please keep moving forward.
Thank you for having us.
You're listening to The Local Take with Kiplin Primus on Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 WCLK. If you have guest suggestions for our program, you can leave a voicemail at 404-880-6211 or email KiplinPrimus@gmail.com. That's KIPLYN. The Local Take is community engagement from Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 WCLK.